Welcome to SportsBeat KC, the Kansas City Stars Daily Sports Podcast. It's Thursday, September 16th, and I'm Blair Kirkhoff. We're talking Chiefs today on a show that started as a SportsBeat Live with Herbie Teope, Sam Mellinger, and Vahe Gregorian. What do the Chiefs need clean up from the victory over the Browns? We talk about last week's game and look ahead to the game at the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football. Patrick Mahomes looks to make it four straight over Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, but it's the first time he'll play at Baltimore with fans in the stands. What are the keys to the game? Well, we talk about that. So let's get started talking Chiefs. Good morning from Kansas City. Welcome to SportsBeat Live, where the folks who cover the Chiefs for the Star get together and talk about the next game, previous game, and anything else you want to discuss about the Chiefs. You all drive the show, so please send us your questions and comments, and we'll respond to you. I see where Herbie Teope is here, along with Sam Mellinger and Vahe Gregorian. Sam McDowell usually joins us, is on assignment. as a dad, he and his wife, Kate, welcomed Mirabelle to the McDowell family earlier this week, and we couldn't be happier for the McDowells. And Brennan now has a sister in Mirabelle. That's fantastic. So Sam will be back with us, I don't know, sometime in the coming weeks, but he's being a papa and a parent, and we couldn't, like I said, we couldn't be happier for him. So, all right, guys, Chiefs are 1-0 heading into Baltimore for Sunday Night Football. I will not, I'll save my disdain for night football for another show, but.
For during the game. Save it for then.
Yeah, I'll wait. Right. I'll wait till we're sitting together talking about how much I hate night football. But that's a me thing, okay? That's just that's just me. So, you know, often we start with the injury report. And being at practice yesterday, Andy Reid started off the press conference by saying there are no injuries to report. So, of course, that's news because – it means there'll be some players available for the Ravens game that were not available for the Cleveland Browns. Herbie, tell us who they are.
Well, the two big ones, obviously, are safety Tyrann Mathieu, who was on the practice field, and he's not even on the injury list. So there's clearly no concerns, no lingering concerns whatsoever of his return from the reserve COVID-19 list. And then obviously Frank Clark. Frank Clark suffered a hamstring injury in training camp on August the 12th. He didn't play in any of the preseason games, and he was also inactive for the season opening win against the Cleveland Browns. But the good news is he put in a full practice on Wednesday, so it's looking up for him. Barring a setback, he will make his return to the starting lineup. The Chiefs also listed Tyreek Hill with a toe injury, Clyde Edwards-Helaire with an ankle injury, Derek Nnadi with a hip injury, and Mike Danna with a groin injury. But they put in a full practice Wednesday, meaning they took their full repetitions. And then Austin Blythe, who recently underwent sports hernia surgery, was limited. And then Colin Saunders with a glute injury was limited. But overall, this is a good-looking injury report leading to Sunday night's game.
Yeah, nothing like the Ravens' injury issues. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Frank Clark we saw running with the ones. I mean, he was running with the starting defense, even though he has not been – didn't play in a preseason game, and boy, it'll be fascinating to see him on the field, 55 for the first time this season. What can we expect? What do you think, Herbie? What can you expect from a player who basically hasn't seen any game action since the Super Bowl last year?
Well, I think if anything, they're going to rely on his speed because you need that speed on the edge when you face a guy like Lamar Jackson. You saw what he did on Monday night with that 28-yard run because he broke containment against the Raiders. But, you know, Clark will give them that speed element on the outside. And, if he stays disciplined within his lane, he should be able to help keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket. But if he doesn't – if they try to limit his snaps, they have some depth there with Mike Danna. Danna has – enjoyed a strong training camp. And, you know, he was a guy who started in place of Clark against the Browns.
Okay. Hey, so we're going to talk a lot about the Ravens here coming up, but let's look back at the Browns game and any kind of lingering issues, something that the Chiefs should be concerned about this week heading into Baltimore. I look back on that game and think, boy, I don't know if the Chiefs want to play the Browns again. That's how impressed I was with how Cleveland came out in that game, how well prepared the Browns were, how Stefanski had that team ready to play, how well the Browns executed the game plan. And for three quarters, you know, Cleveland was ready to win that game. And then the Chiefs did what the Chiefs have been doing since Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback. They found a way to win on such a Chiefsian, you know, moment. The 75-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, a punter dropping a punt, and the Chiefs turning that into the second Mahomes to Kelce touchdown pass, and then Chris Jones having the really nice, defensive the sack and playing really well defensively in the second half. So victory was terrific for the Chiefs, Melly. But what did it mask some issues that the Chiefs have to fix this week? I don't know.
It's just wild to me how we're all humans, but it's wild to me how fast we went from like just be competitive to beat what I think is the next best team in the AFC, and it wasn't good enough. You know, coming off a season where they went 16-2 or 15-2, whatever it was with the varsity playing, and maybe 15-1. If I don't know if you count that offensive line in the Super Bowl as the varsity, but. Look, I mean, they're flawed, right? They're not a perfect team. And the Browns, I think, are really well positioned to take advantage of some of those flaws, particularly with that offensive line and the run game. But they could lose. They could get better, you know, all these things. But the thing, I'm not going to forget this. Like, it just – they put so much pressure on you to be perfect. And one mistake can become another, and it can kind of snowball. Remember the game, it was the Chargers. Was it last season where the Chiefs really kind of stunk for most of the game? And then they had like one great, like 8 minutes or whatever it was. And they ended up winning, you know, that was the Butker game in a lot of ways. It's just, they're not perfect. They could get better against the run. They can get beat deep. That defense can be had, you know, if you get some guys running deep, who's catching the ball besides Kelce and Hill. But I mean, it's just like, you know, there's maybe, I don't know if there's 31 other sort of beat teams at other newspapers, you know, around the NFL, the problems that they're talking about are a lot more tangible and problematic than what we're going to be talking about.
No doubt.
Blair, I just chime in with, you know, Sam expressed this better in his column than I will right now. But, you know, there is a way that the Chiefs generate some of this fortune, right? I don't know that the punter drops the ball if it in a vacuum. I think it happened because the Chiefs just had the 75-yard touchdown and the flow of the game was changing. And there was a fluster factor for the Browns. That is part of the Chiefs' formula at this point, because you know they're just going to keep coming and they're never done. So I come out of the game feeling like sort of like I can't make the look Sam made earlier, but just sort of the eh. But it is true that two or three plays changed the game. I mean, without that drop punt, I don't know if they win. I don't think they win without the 75-yard touchdown pass. Those plays might not have happened. The flip side of that, though, also is whatever problems the Browns present, they're going to also be facing a little bit different defense next time they play, presumably if Tyrann Mathieu is indeed healthy then, and Frank Clark. And I think there's a little bit of a coin toss here, but I would still like the Chiefs in another game with the Browns.
I'll say this. I would love to see the Chiefs and Browns play at full strength. I mean, obviously the Browns were missing Odell Beckham Jr., but conversely, the Chiefs didn't have Tyrann Mathieu. And those two players just add a completely different dynamic to what the Browns want to do in the passing game and what the Chiefs will do defensively.
There's an old line that I was thinking about this week. It's from a golfer, an old golfer. I don't know if it's like Arnold Palmer or Jack Nicklaus or Ben Hogan or whatever, but he said, the more I practice, the luckier I get. And there's sort of some of that with the Chiefs, like the better, because they used to have a lot of bad breaks, right? Like the Mariota, I don't have to bring up that Titans playoff game. I mean, we know they've had some bad breaks, but it's like now they're really good and they seem to be getting, you know, the Chubb fumble at the right time and, you know, the punter dropping the pass and or dropping the snap and all that stuff. And that's not a coincidence. You know, they're just and again, they can be beaten if you can hit Mahomes, particularly without blitzing. But that's like the key to beating anybody. Right. But if you can do that, then things can start to unravel a little bit. You can control the line of scrimmage and all these other things. But God, you just have to check off so many boxes. It's a really hard thing to do.
I agree with Herbie. I would like, you know, I think the Browns not having Odell Beckham Jr. made a difference to them. Although I don't know how they could have, you know, been more efficient offensively on those first three possessions. I don't know. We, every time somebody beats the Chiefs, there's a blueprint now to beat the Chiefs. Right. And you know, whatever, what the Browns did in the first half didn't resemble anything the Bucks did in the Super Bowl, because they, it was just a different type. Those were just different types of games. But I was impressed with the way and a little bit surprised by the Browns having as much success on the ground against this Chiefs defense. We thought was going to be improved, especially in the middle, kicking Chris Jones to the outside and having Derek Nnadi and Jarrett Reed in the middle is the lead guys in the defensive tackle rotation. I thought that was a little discouraging from last week. And hey, you know what? So Mahomes was 27 of 36, and 22 of those 36 pass attempts went to two players. Sam, you mentioned it just a moment ago. I think they do need to reduce the targets to Tyreek Hill and make sure they find a reliable second wide receiver threat. I think they've got plenty of options there. The game plan or the game presented itself in a way that it just didn't unfold that way. So those are the kind of the two things that I look at it. And the other thing was the Orlando Brown Jr. game. Allowed a career high five pressures in that game. So going into Baltimore with another, you know, a blitzing Baltimore team, that's one thing that the Ravens have kind of a common thread through the Ravens' previous games against the Chiefs is they pin their ears back on defense and try to come after Mahomes. Hasn't been terribly successful, right? I mean, given the results of the last 3 years. But now it's a new offensive line for the Chiefs. And I guess I was hoping for a little bit more success from the offensive line, especially when it came to the running game. Chiefs only mustered 73 yards rushing. Mahomes had the only rushing touchdown. The longest run of the day for the Chiefs was 9 yards by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I don't know. Maybe if this were a Dallas Cowboys show or, the Patriots show, I wouldn't think about all the sort of the flaws that I saw the first week. I just said, yeah, that was the team that, you know, they found a way to win at the end. But I don't know. I look at the Chiefs; they still have some things to remedy going into Baltimore and to for the rest of the season. So let's Jason Paddock says the lack of pressure from the defense made the inexperience of the secondary a glaring issue in the first half last week. Certainly was, and you know, without Tyrann Mathieu back there, they had to change some things. And so, Herbie, who stands to lose playing time with Tyrann Mathieu back in the fold?
It depends on what the Chiefs decide to do. If they're playing more nickel, or if they go into more into a dime package, then I think you're going to see a lot of the all three safeties on the field at the same time. You'll see Juan Thornhill, Daniel Sorensen, and Tyrann Mathieu. But if they stick with a lot of base, then it's probably going to be Juan Thornhill whose playing time will drop. Thornhill recorded the second most defensive snaps on Sunday against the Browns, obviously because Mathieu was out, and he's the one who started in place of Mathieu. And then Andy Reid told us yesterday that, you know, he was responsible for making some of the calls back there. And that was the biggest thing you missed without Tyrann Mathieu. And it was so glaring on Sunday. If you can go back and revote the defensive player of the year over the last two seasons, you saw what number 32 means to this Chiefs defense, you know, with him not being out there.
Hey, it's Blair. We have a special subscription offer for SportsBeat KC listeners, unlimited digital access to the Kansas City Stars award-winning sports coverage. Sign up now for 1 year of Sports Pass for access to all the sports news, features, and columns presented on the KansasCity.com site, and it's only $30. That's a 40% savings off our regular rate. Your subscription will automatically renew after the initial term at $50 unless you tell us to cancel. Your subscription helps support the sports coverage of KansasCity.com and the Kansas City Star, and that support has never been more important. Please visit KansasCity.com/SportsBeatKCOffer to get this special offer. And as always, thanks for listening.
Terrence Werner Robinson makes a couple of points we should talk about. Lucas Niang looked better than Orlando Brown, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire left a lot of yards on the field. You know, again, we're, from our perspective in the press box, we do get to kind of look down on the game. It's why coaches sit in the press box during games, because they can get that different perspective. And it just looked like, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire wasn't exactly, you know, finding the running lanes, the opportunities for him. I know, Vahe, you and I were, you know, chatting about that up in the press box. And this team really, the whole idea of the Chiefs offense being better, and, you know, we thought maybe Mahomes' numbers come down a little bit this year because the running game improves. And look, they scored 33 points against the Browns, played, you know, had nice offensive numbers, but you would like to see a little bit better production in the running game.
I thought it was a little surprising to me out of Clyde. I think of him as having really good vision, certainly great ability to cut and make things happen in a hurry. I have most of the time we've seen him play, always thought of him as a guy who falls 2 or 3 yards past where you think he's going to land. But the one play in particular you're talking about, Blair, was like wide open left side of the line. And I think we've seen some replays and even still photos of like, oh. But I think he ran like a guy who was a little rusty, not a guy who was timid. And I think those traits of his, the vision and the acceleration, the speed, all those will kick in. I've heard some concern about him. I don't feel like that. Maybe you guys feel differently.
You know, look, the other thing is the Chiefs are playing from behind from the get-go too. So they had 65 offensive snaps and threw, and Mahomes had 36 pass attempts. They were throwing early and often. So, but again, I do think they want to get that running game established. I think one of the mistakes the Browns made in this game was when they fell behind by you know, after the second Kelce touchdown reception, they abandoned the run that had gone so well for them, you know, earlier. And I think teams don't you think, Sam, teams tend to do that against the Chiefs? They panic a little bit when games get tight.
Yeah. I just keep going back to that takeaway, but like we've seen teams kind of panic and do some things that, you know, maybe they're not equipped to do, or maybe it's not the best thing for them to do. But I just don't know that I've seen that much panic in a team as we saw from the Browns. And I don't know if that was, I'm saying panic, maybe that's pressing, you know, maybe it's in their mind, the last game we played was a playoff loss to these guys. Now's our chance. We've had all offseason. They made some really interesting changes, like especially in the secondary and in the draft, that sure seemed focused on beating the Chiefs. And maybe they were putting too much on it. I don't know. But I do think that the Browns are a really good team. And I do think that both of these teams are going to be different. I'm assuming they're going to play in the playoffs. I really am. And I think that they'll be different. Once there, you never know about injuries, but I think the Chiefs offensive line, I'm assuming, will be better. by then, assuming health. And I think the Browns will continue to evolve and stuff as well. But I do have a little bit of concern with that running game, you know. And again, I think that Clyde will be better as the season goes on, assuming that the offensive line is better as the season goes on. But they were playing from behind, like you said, Blair. But in theory, that should mean that there's more space for him. You know, if the Browns are expecting the pass, then maybe you can sneak in a 6-yard run when they're not expecting it. There just wasn't, you know, our friend would say, like, it just didn't seem like he had a lot of juice, you know, when he was carrying the ball. And I think we'll see bursts of that because he is super talented and he's really quick and he's got a lot of ability. But it wasn't really there on Sunday.
He did have a nice reception out of the backfield, one thing we've heard a lot about leading up to the season that you probably see a little bit more of a developed screen game, or the Chiefs returning to a bit of a screen game this year that didn't exist a year ago. Maybe that's in the offing, but we didn't see, except for, you know, he had the one reception. It wasn't a screen. It was just kind of a wheel route, whatever it was, just out of the backfield, and it was a nice call, nice play.
Can I say something else real quick about him in the pass game? Is they've got to be careful there because we heard a lot from the Chiefs about how he was a lot better in pass protection now. It wasn't on Sunday, you know, especially if you go back and watch Mahomes' touchdown run, the offensive line had that thing. That might have been one of their best snaps. I mean, they had that thing walled off, and the pressure came in because Edwards-Helaire, I forgot who was rushing for the Browns, but Clyde just whiffed on the block, and that's why Mahomes had to flush and then came through, and Trey Smith just annihilated somebody right there at the goal line to get in. But that's a thing that I guess my point here is they might have to incorporate those screens to sort of keep the defense from just attacking Clyde all the time, you know, use him as a weapon instead of a defense.
And the Browns have one of the best offensive line, if not the best offensive line in football. That was which kind of made the Chris Jones sack in the fourth quarter all the more impressive that he was able to get to Baker Mayfield as quickly as he did. Tony says hopefully Chiefs will incorporate a second, third wide receiver in the plan this week and a tight end other than Kelsey. Browns were very good. Totally agree with that. The Chiefs have I looked it up, in the three regular season games since 2018, the Chiefs have averaged almost 400 yards passing. We talk about Mahomes' stats in September, which are unbelievable, right? 11-0 with 35 touchdowns and no interceptions now. I mean, they were just otherworldly stats. Well, two of those wins have come over the Ravens in that time, and he's 3-0. He's 3-0 against Baltimore. And I looked this up too. He's 7-0 against the NFC North. So he hasn't lost to a game in this division. There's a lot of stats like that for Mahomes.
You know, one thing that I've been laughing about this week, Vahe, I think after the game you had mentioned, you know, Andy Reid mentioned like 20 names in the post game, and the quarterback wasn't one of them. And the quarterback was named AFC Player of the Week.
It was great, kind of just testament to the routine, right, of it. Hey, one quick thing on the that last question regarding, you know, another receiving threat. I think we've all been a little cognizant of that, and I've been thinking about it a little bit. You know, when it comes right down to it, we understand there's a special chemistry among Patrick, Travis, and Tyreek. And that has not been generated, cultivated, felt with the other receivers. It just hasn't. And time and again, we see things like Mecole Hardman coming up short of the sticks when he could have run a couple more yards the other day. There was one play, it didn't get discussed, but Patrick threw the ball into a had enough time through, and it looked to me like my assumption would be Mecole Hardman was in the wrong place where the ball landed. That's just an assumption. We don't know the pattern, but I feel like that is taking more energy to try to generate than it should. And I don't quite understand why it's not happening. And it's just funny, the contrast with that and Patrick seeing Tyreek's little yellow gloves down the field and deciding he can wing it, or, you know, the mind meld he always has with Kelce with that great bit on the sideline a couple of years ago where Travis was saying to him that he didn't know where he was going and how did Patrick know that he was doing that. He's got that with those guys. So in the crunch, that's where he's going. Until something, you know, he gets more juice out of those other guys, that's maybe it's an embarrassment of riches with Tyreek and Travis, but it really points out that they got to develop something else.
What's weird to me about this is that, the sort of worrying or complaining about who to throw the ball to after those two guys is just a thing. Like, we just need to recognize that this is kind of a silly discussion that we're having, but we do have the discussion. But it's just weird to me that, like, is there a better situation? I mean, I know those guys eat up a lot of targets, but you're never going to be doubled, you know, and sometimes you'll sort of be single covered, you know, and that's the part that's weird, is that with all that attention that defenses are giving to those two guys that and Hardman's had, you know, over the years, I didn't really notice much on Sunday, but certainly he'll have them this season, like chances to make big plays. I mean, 40, 60, 80 yard touchdowns. And he hasn't always connected on those, but it's just, that's a strange part to me, is that this is as easy as it gets. You know, this is, I shouldn't say easy, but God, you're set up for success when you've got the best quarterback in the league and you know that you'll never be doubled.
Yeah, but I was still surprised that the Browns didn't bracket Kelce in the red zone last week.
It's crazy. I don't know. Yeah, what are we doing? Yeah, do it.
Yeah, yeah. Take your chances and let Byron Pringle beat you down there. But right. He will. I mean, he absolutely right. will. But you know, Kelce is automatic in the red zone. So our great friend Jack says Alejandro Villanueva was beaten several times last week at his new position, right tackle. Can the Chiefs exploit that? Yes, I think so. I thought, you know, certainly in the second half, the Chiefs got the pass rush going and got some pressure on Baker Mayfield. Not only the Chris Jones sack, but the game sealing interception on the, you know, on the Sorensen blitz, and did a really nice job disrupting Mayfield, and of course Mike Hughes ended up with the interception. So really, really good play by the Chiefs defense over the last several series in the second half after the tough start. So one of the themes for this week's game, Herbie, isn't it? It's the old friends alert on both sides of the ball.
The revenge game.
Yeah, for both sides, right? I really enjoyed hearing Orlando Brown Jr. tell us yesterday, you know, when he played for the Ravens, he would look up at the suite level, and that's where, you know, that's where the families of the players watched Ravens games. And of course, Orlando Brown Sr. spent, you know, the majority of his career playing for the Ravens, and of course on the other side, Sammy Watkins. It's funny, we're talking a lot about second targets or second wide receiver targets. There's Sammy Watkins playing for the Ravens now, and Justin Houston, who, an old friend of the Chiefs, who I think will end up being in the team's Hall of Fame, you know, after he retires. So, Herbie, can stuff like that be motivating? What did Orlando Brown say about that yesterday?
I think, you know, he said he'll be emotional going back to Baltimore, but he's going to be a professional about it and let his emotions speak for itself. And, you know, ever since the CBA of 1992, which allowed free agency in the National Football League, you see players change teams all the time. But, you know, for him, it's kind of unique because he was drafted to be a starter, and now, you know, then they traded him. So, you know, I'm sure he's a little pumped up to show them that, hey, you made a mistake in trading me. But for the most part, most of these players understand that it is the nature of the business. You know, you will face your former team. You will see former teammates, et cetera. The funny thing from his press conference yesterday, obviously, was, you know, is Steve Spagnuolo in his ear trying to pick up some of the Baltimore Ravens offense tendencies. And what did he say? I don't snitch. That was kind of funny the way he said that.
You asked the question. I thought it was a hilarious answer. And I was a little bit surprised by that because the NFL, I mean, by you know this, you know, they do nothing but snitch. I mean, that's, you sign players to snitch.
Yeah, you sign players for that entire reason.
Marty Schottenheimer used to do that all the time. He'd sign a guy 3 days before a game and cut him on, you know, on Monday.
It's funny. I don't know where Orlando Brown is from originally. I can't remember, but it reminded me, having come from the Ravens, it made me think of something out of The Wire, just the way he said it.
No, man, I don't
go to high school there.
Maybe he did.
I think so, with his dad playing there. I think so.
That's right. Anyway, it was a really funny moment. And, you know, just a quick aside, isn't he an impressive guy? Well, yeah. I mean, to hear how he owned up to how he played and just how obviously smart he is. And you guys have observed that before, but I was always struck by it yesterday.
He had me on his introductory press conference when because – all you hear is that he wanted out of a good organization because he wanted to play left tackle instead of right tackle. And I'm like, I don't know. Is this a diva? Is this a guy that just wants the extra million or whatever, you know, the extra money on a left tackle? But to hear him explain why that's important to him, I'm all in. You know, I mean, if you play with that kind of heart and you're doing it for your dad like that, I'm all in, man. That's an impressive man.
Let me amplify the point about the Ravens organization. I didn't realize this, that in the if you listed all the AFC teams, all AFC, all 16 AFC teams, they have the best winning percentage of their in franchise history, right? So they've only been a franchise for what, 25, 26 years, but they've got the greatest winning percentage of any team, better than the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Broncos, Steelers, in their existence, they have the best winning percentage. So it's a championship culture there. They have a really great culture in Baltimore. And how often are we talking, you know, look, these last 3 years of games have been showdowns, right? Mahomes, Jackson, you know, Ravens, Chiefs, just, you know, games that are, you know, the prime time last year. Vahe, you were at that game last year with, you know, fans in Baltimore. There'll be fans this year at was it M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. I imagine the atmosphere is just going to be fantastic. So, I guess it's my way of saying that, you know, Baltimore is a, you know, is an organization that just, you know, they play to win, and they are a never to be taken lightly. Now, having said all of that, Chiefs are what is it? Sam McDowell's not here to update us on the lines, but three. Is it a 3-point?
Last I saw was three.
Yeah, to go on the road against a team of this quality and be a 3-point favorite is really telling, right? So what happens on Sunday night? Brian LeBurz asks, do we think the Ravens being called out by the Raiders for cheap hits will impact their aggression this week? I don't think anything will impact the Raiders' aggression. They're going to come after the Chiefs, but again, that hasn't worked. It just hasn't worked against the Chiefs. Is this just a matchup problem for the Ravens, Sam?
That's where I'm standing right now is on that ground. And I used to be very much in the opposite camp on this. I used to think that the Ravens were a bad matchup for the Chiefs just because of the way that they're able to run the ball. And in theory, that should be true. Although I think Frank Clark makes a huge difference. He's the best they have at setting the edge and playing the run like that, on the outside at least. But they blitz, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but the Ravens year after year have one of the highest blitz rates in football. And Mahomes' numbers against the blitz are just outrageous. I mean, he's just, it's unbelievable. It's as if he wants you to, you know, like he is better against the blitz than not. And I think that creates some problems, because then do you do what you do, you know, and what you trust, because you've won a lot of games doing it, you know, or do you change it all just because of this freak show quarterback? And so far, like, the Ravens have been blitzing a lot and they paid for it. I'm always interested in that matchup, but for the most part, yeah, I mean, I'm just, I'm done with it, man. Like, I want to see the Ravens beat the Chiefs before I, like, I'm getting out of that room, you know, and I'll go back in as soon as the Ravens beat the Chiefs, but I just want to see it first because it's not happening so far.
You get go ahead, Blair. Sorry. No, go ahead.
I've got to do a prediction on the game, and I'm trying to find reasons for the Ravens to win this game. You know, coming off an emotional loss, you know, Lamar Jackson just tired of hearing how he's 0-3 against Mahomes, but I can't do it. I think the Chiefs would have to do some dumb things that we don't see, right? For them to lose this game. So I'm sorry, Bahe.
No, it's along the same lines. I mean, I think, you know, until proven otherwise, you have to feel like the Chiefs have their number. And this is a little unfair to Lamar. I love watching Lamar play. But I guess I do feel like – I've come to feel like in the brightest moments that Patrick plays better when in that situation. And Lamar seems to, you know, be mistake prone in those moments. And – really, for Lamar's sake, I hope that comes to be different. He's a guy you really want to see succeed, but that's just my sense of it, and that is heightened in this particular matchup.
Yeah, I think that the case for the Ravens is that if you don't play your absolute best in this game against that team after what you did in week one, with, you know, at home, the biggest platform that the NFL provides in the regular season, if that doesn't bring out your absolute best, then there's you're a mess, you know? And so I think the Chiefs need to expect that. And I think maybe we'll see that, but the problem is a lot of times that's not enough, you know, like a lot of times it just, you can play your best, but if the Chiefs give their A-, you're probably walking out of there having lost by 5 or 6 points.
And I know we're talking about week two of the regular season, but where Lamar Jackson really has to step it up is in the playoffs, right? I mean, it's they did win a playoff game last season, but that's been the only playoff victory for Jackson in his 3 years as a starter. Whereas Mahomes is 6-2 in the playoffs with a ring. So, okay, guys, we'll have plenty more to discuss after the game in Baltimore on Sunday night. Did I mention that I'm not a big fan of the night football? But we'll save that for another show down the road. Anyway, programming note, we're back next Tuesday talking Royals at 10 a.m. Please join us then. For Vahe Gregorian, Herbie Teope, Sam Mellinger, Sam McDowell, who wasn't with us today, will be in sometime in the next couple weeks, and for our producer, Beth Welch. Thanks a lot for joining us. Big thanks to all of you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week. That'll do it for today. Thanks to our SportsBeat KC production staff of Beth Welsh, Monty Davis, Jeff Rosen, Chris Fickett, and Savannah Smith. Tip of the cap to Herbie Teope, Sam Mellinger, and Vahe Gregorian for Talkin' Chiefs. Links to their stories can be found in the show notes and on kansascity.com. Hey, got another deal for you. You can subscribe to Sports Pass for 99 cents a month. That's right, 99 pennies a month. Sports Pass is the online version of the Star Sports section. You get all the stories that appear in the print editions of the Star, plus additional stories that appear only on the website. After 3 months, it auto-renews at $5.99 a month unless you cancel. How do you get it? You go to kansascity.com/sportspass2020. That is kansascity.com/sportspass2020. Hey, and I wanted to call your attention to something new. It's called the Morning Sports Edition. Maybe you know about the Star Z Edition, and that's a replica of the printed newspaper on your screen that comes with your digital subscription. Well, now there's an updated sports section produced separately that goes along with it. When you open the e-edition, there's a box in the upper right-hand corner. You click on that, and you can access a sports page that includes all the late afternoon and evening news, or maybe you get a link in your email. Either way, it is access to complete coverage of the previous day's sports news, features, statistics, everything. This morning, I read about the Royals' loss to the Oakland A's, a game that ended after I went to sleep last night. I saw some Chiefs features, future Big 12 basketball schedules, and more. Listen, however you get the Star, I want to thank you because you're supporting the best sports and news coverage in Kansas City and helping us produce programs like SportsBeat KC. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back on Friday with another episode.